My name's Mark Bottomley, Regional Vice President of Strategic Accounts for Rockwell Automation in the EMEA region, and I'm your guest host for this very special episode of the Management Perspectives podcast. In this show, we'll be discussing how companies are investing in new strategies and technologies to improve their ability to serialize and trace their products, creating benefits for both the company and their customers. Companies and customers are more invested in sustainability initiatives throughout the supply chain, and serializing and automating the serialization of products provides an increase in ROI overall. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by my guests, Dr. Paul Miller, Vice President and Principal Analyst from Forrester Research, and Christine Axelsen, CEO of Kezzler. Paul, Christine, would you like to introduce yourselves to the listeners?
Happy to. Thank you, Mark, and thank you for the invitation to be here today. As you said, my name is Paul Miller. I'm an analyst at Forrester based in the U.K., covering the smart manufacturing space. And just recently, some of my colleagues and I at Forrester worked on a piece of research for Rockwell and Kezzler that we'll be hearing more about in a moment.
Right. Thank you, Mark. So my name is Christine Axelsen. I'm CEO of Kezzler, a connected products platform company. We're on a mission to build sustainable value chains, and I look forward to talking about how we do that. And our role is, in short, to digitize products to be able to collect, structure and share traceability data at scale. And this helps facilitate regulatory compliance, connected product experiences, supply chain visibility, and circular business models.
Perfect. Thank you, Paul. Thanks, Christine. Very good to have you on the podcast today. Creating a powerful and adaptable customer experience strategy requires a multifaceted approach. And as organizations embrace omnichannel commerce, supply chain sustainability becomes a key focal point of the customer experience strategy. Companies have been forced to balance their need to retain consumers' brand loyalty with digitizing product offerings and scaling logistics operations. Leaning into serialization and traceability has begun to afford them access to an improved customer experience, as well as valuable operational efficiencies, but also the ability to stay on the right side of the law when it comes to evolving market regulations. So, Paul, I'll start with you. Where can a company start when they want to increase the traceability of their product distribution journey?
Many ways to answer that question, but we don't have all day, so let's pick a few and focus in on those. So as we look at the survey data specifically, and we went out and we talked to stakeholders in the European market specifically about their supply chain challenges. And interestingly, we asked, you know, whether they were interested in digitally transforming their supply chain. And for those that said yes, we then went on to say, okay, you know, why and how? And the why, the biggest single why, was making serialization and traceability data more accessible to customers. So not about internal stuff at all, about making it available for customers to understand what's going on. And that was really interesting. As we then dig down and just very briefly into some of the specifics and practical steps, IoT comes up a lot. You know, 47%, for example, saying they're putting more IoT sensors onto pallets and crates. 36% saying they're putting more IoT sensors onto shipments. 32% saying they're putting more IoT sensors onto individual items. And we can assume for that last 32%, they're probably making the more expensive things, because you can only really justify that IoT sensor on an individual item if the individual item costs more than the sensor.
Yeah, so I guess, Frank, you talk about sensors and digitizing and automating. And I think practically speaking, it's about getting your data in order, right? And traceability means different things to different people. But let's say we're talking about a physical product or a branded good, and putting a sensor on a CPG product might not always be an option, right? And this is where the product digitization, putting a digital ID on the product, sometimes even in form of a QR code, comes into play. And traceability is this capacity to trace something, this product, throughout a life cycle. And throughout that life cycle, you keep adding adding data points, things you know about the product to build the product CV. Where you start and where you finish is sort of limited to the data you can get access to, and that is rightly associated with the product. And again, how extensive you do this depends on what you want to achieve. And Rockwell and Kessler have a joint customer, Royal Friesland Campina, that that are tracing their infant formula. And given that they're a dairy cooperative, in fact, the world's largest dairy cooperative, they know where they're getting their milk from into the infant formula production. So from the milk collection and all the way out to the hands of the consumer, they're sharing the data that they get access to. You know, they start at the point of manufacturing where the upstream meets the downstream, and then digitize the cans of infant formula and eventually add data through integrations with existing systems, and then all the way to an end consumer scan, and then share this data with the end consumers. So that's an example of what you were just pointing to, Paul, that sharing traceability data with end consumers is an important driver. They also obviously get visibility into the supply chain whilst doing this, and are able to comply with a regulatory requirement. So it's a massive ROI for our joint customer there.
Thank you, Christine. And thank you, Paul. It's good to understand from a customer perspective, first of all, what the feedback is, but also how important the both the hardware and then ultimately the data are in that customer journey. When we talk about evolving market, the evolving market in this particular instance, there are evolutions to the regulations in this context. What exactly do we mean and do we see from a regulatory evolution perspective?
And I think you've got the regulators in all markets stepping in and taking more of a proactive approach here. They want to understand where things like milk that ends up in baby formula are coming from. So that if there's a problem, and of course we never want there to be a problem, but if there is a problem, so you can trace it back to the source and deal with it as quickly and safely and cost effectively as possible. It's also, as Christine was saying, about broader visibility to the consumer, giving them faith and confidence that that fair trade banana they're eating for their breakfast actually came from a fair trade source and wasn't, you know, produced in some less wholesome way and just had a fair trade sticker stuck on it in the supermarket. You know, that's not what any of us want. And you've got regulations coming through, things like in the US food traceability legislation becoming more and more stringent. In the EU, we have a sustainable products directive, again, becoming more and more stringent. Christine talked about the CV for a product driven by data throughout its life cycle. The passports that are being produced in the EU touch on that. We have a battery directive, for example, where every car battery by, I think it's about 2025, will come with a passport. And that passport tells you, where did the lithium come from? Where did the cobalt come from? Where did all these other materials come from? And increasingly, of course, as we begin to scale EV batteries, where was the original source of this cobalt or lithium that I recycled to put into the battery that's in your car? All of these life cycles, all of these sort of interconnecting flows, fundamentally, as Christine said, driven by data. Because in almost every case, you're not going to be putting an IoT sensor, a piece of hardware, onto these individual lumps of cobalt, these individual liters of milk. So you need data, you need inference, you need to be understanding the workflow and the process to be able to work out what's going on, even if you can't say, I had a sensor on that molecule of formula, because you never did.
I just want to add that these EU requirements, they will cover, as Paul said, you know, a wide range of issues: recycle content, reusability, recyclability, energy uses and efficiency, and carbon and environmental footprint. And the interesting thing about the digital product passport that Paul mentioned is that the documentation that these requirements have been met will have to accompany the products. And this is where the digital product passport come in. So it's supposed to be an electronic record of a product CV, if you may, you know, a product's life cycle, and that is available until the end of life. And the way the EU envisions this is that the product itself should carry a link to the passport in the form of a QR code. So all the information that you've gathered about this product resides in the cloud, and then you can through the QR code access that information. And obviously this QR code can display different information for different stakeholders, because regulators might require some parts of the CV, whereas an end consumer might be interested in other parts of the CV. And this is where the consumer perspective comes in, right? And I think also your research shows, Paul, how concerned consumers are with transparency and sustainability. We have research saying that 66% of consumers are willing to pay more for sustainable products. And what is it, 42% of millennials want to know what goes into a product before they make a purchase. So it is a change ongoing out there.
Thanks, Christine. Yeah, absolutely. It's important to understand how that data can be used, but most importantly, how that data is specifically related to individual products as they go forward. So, Paul, I want to go back to you. From our listeners' perspective, from a business perspective, how can they feel the direct positive impact of serialization when it comes to the product's legal facilities?
I think one of the big issues we see is around things like counterfeiting, things like theft. On the surface, you assume this is some tiny little issue. The odd worker steals the odd product very, very occasionally, and it's not a big issue, so we don't need to worry about it. No concern at all. Move on. Actually, as we looked at the data from our respondents in the survey, this is a bigger problem than certainly I thought it was likely to be. So 4 in 10 of respondents report that they're losing more than 10% of their sales because of counterfeiting. Someone else making a fake product and passing it off as a Rolex watch or whatever it may be. More than half lose over 10% of their sales because of grey market diversion. So products you sold and that shipped out of the factory sent intended for a customer in Germany end up in the UK or end up in Japan or end up in some other market. And so again, the revenues from that aren't going where they were meant to. And so you're losing significant amounts of money in terms of the diversion and counterfeiting. So it's a big issue, as well as the positive beneficial stuff both Christine and I were talking about a moment ago.
Yeah, I think I saw in your research, Paul, on the ROI side of it, right? Because avoiding counterfeit and avoiding gray market diversion is usually seen as sort of cost side. But then your report said that 46% of respondents report a sales uplift of between 21 to 40%. Because avoidance of counterfeits, or because that's lost sales. And also we with a joint customer, Royal Friesland Campina, that I was talking about earlier, one of their drivers was also products ending up in the wrong market. And there are many sort of challenges with that, right? You might be differentiating pricing depending on end market, but more importantly is also your ability to do recalls or inform the public if there is something wrong with a product, or so there's a lot of reasons why you want to avoid diversion, products ending up in the wrong market. There's also legislation, different ingredient legislation in different markets, and I guess working in this industry, we keep being surprised by the massive amounts of counterfeit products in product categories you wouldn't even imagine. So obviously a health and safety challenge, but also a massive loss of brand integrity and So a challenging situation that digitization of products and securing supply chain can help overcome.
Absolutely. And just, you know, building on what Christine was just saying there about things like the ability to quickly recall products, 81% of respondents to the survey saying that's either important or critically important in their product traceability journey. 80%, so almost the same number, saying that full visibility into where their products are is important or critically important. And again, that plays into counterfeiting, it plays into the grey market piece, it plays into the regulations and that consumer awareness and consumer confidence. And then, you know, the final one there, you know, 70% saying a critical or important role in improving brand loyalty by being better able to manage their products and better able to say the fair trade banana you're eating really is a fair trade banana. Or that very expensive Rolex watch you just bought really is a Rolex, and I, Rolex, can prove it. So all of that has a, you know, important benefit in improving customer experience, improving customer engagement, improving sustainability, and to Christine's point, improving the bottom line for the manufacturer as well. So it really is one of those cases where everybody wins if we get this stuff right.
Very good. Yes. Some clearly quantifiable numbers around the impact from a sales perspective, return on investment that we can make from the survey, but also more challenging things to measure in terms of brand loyalty. And then obviously the significant benefits from a customer experience perspective. Really fascinating. So thank you very much. Regarding transparency and the impact that it can have on the customer experience, is there anything that you'd like to leave the listener with that that you view as particularly relevant from the work that you've been doing?
I think, you know, for transparency, it's some of the points we were talking about. It's that confidence that you are, you know, where, you know, Christine said customers maybe are willing to pay more for a sustainable product. Being sure you actually are giving your money for a good reason and a good cause, and not just because some unscrupulous vendor is greenwashing and claiming benefits and sustainability and traceability that perhaps may not be there. So that ability to know my money is being well spent, my resources are being well used and well managed, I think touches a number of issues that are increasingly important to consumers here in the European market, but also overseas as well.
I think the minute you put the digital ID on your product, you open up a direct communication channel to your end consumers, right? And you get access to last mile consumption data that you would never had before. When and where is this product being interacted with? And you can create really engaging and exciting consumer experiences depending upon the context in which the product is being interacted with. You would maybe want to show a different messaging pre and post purchase, right? Pre-purchase, you would like to encourage them to buy your product, but post purchase, you might want to encourage them or educate them on how the product is being should be consumed, if it's a, you know, sunscreen, or but also to enable circularity and circular business model. Do you want to put this item for resale on a resale platform, right? You can, there's a massive opportunity enabling circularity, educating the end consumers and I would say augmenting the product experience beyond the physical product. And as a brand owner, you own that channel. It's your direct communication channel to your end consumers.
Telling consumers how to recycle the product at the end of its life. You know, exactly. We all know where the glass bottle goes. We all know where the newspaper goes. We all have those edge cases every day. You wash it, you look at it and go, does this go in the blue bin or the brown bin or the green bin? I have no idea. You know, helping a consumer to understand that so that they feel confident in those choices they're making, because the manufacturer has all that data.
That's also one of the things, you know, what the EU Commission is wanting to achieve with this, these more sustainable products, these sustainable products directive and the eco-design. They want products to last longer. So if you, through the product, can be informed of how to repair it, how to order, you know, a new zipper or a button that fell off your jacket, then you will able products to last longer, which is really one of the key goals of the Commission with the new Eco Design for Sustainable Products regulation that we touched upon.
Really interesting. Yeah, the concept of changing that data and contextualizing it to different parts of that product life cycle, I think, is a fascinating evolution of where the market's going. Right, it's really interesting. So, anything else that either of you'd like to add before we wrap up?
I think just, you know, for me, as I said at the beginning, I come at this very much from that sort of broader smart manufacturing lens, and the traceability, the serialization was sort of an edge case use case for me. But, you know, the work with Rockwell, the work with Christine and Kessler, you know, to understand the scale of the problem here, but also the scale of the opportunity, is certainly something I learned, and hopefully listeners to the podcast are picking up on that too. You know, just the examples Christine was giving at the end there around all these things we can do once we've got the data.
And Christine, anything from yourself?
No, I think it's important to think about this as an opportunity. And not just as a compliance case, or because well, you might have to do it, but there is a massive return on investment with some of the stuff that we talked about, right? The insights and visibility into supply chain and value chain, the extended sort of, you know, life cycle of the product, engaging with the end consumers, enabling circularity and circular business models. So I think it's time to start thinking about this as a massive opportunity and not just a problem you have to solve.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, and thank you both for your time this morning. I think we could talk for a long time in terms of, especially when we start talking about specific examples, I think the opportunity is endless, right? There are different applications that we can see, and the more we talk, the more opportunities that I think of, and I hope our listener is feeling the same way. So thank you both for your time today. Just to wrap up, Forrester has recently compiled a spotlight exploring the data covered in today's discussion. You can find that document linked in the text alongside this podcast. Please do download it and take a look at how serialization and traceability can benefit your business. You've been listening to the Management Perspectives podcast. Please follow me, Mark Bottomley, on LinkedIn. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please rate and review, as this really helps the show going forwards. Thank you for your time.